Father, we thank you for our Bible study. Thank you for bringing us here so that we can learn the mind of God, the purpose of God, and the preservation of the Lord. We're asking, Lord, that as we come to the study today, that you enlighten us. You show us your word, your will, the interpretation, the application to every heart, every life, in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, you quicken us and revive us. Make us come alive as a result of what we are learning from your word, because your word gives life. We pray, Lord, that every one of us today will benefit from everything we're learning in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, God bless you. Consider, we're coming to a Bible study tonight in Daniel chapter 3. And Daniel chapter 3, we're reading from verse 19 now. You understand? We're in this chapter 3. We're looking at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we're looking at the grace of God in their lives, the courage in their lives, and the conviction that they had that they were able to stand when a great persecution came against them. A kind of persecution nobody had experienced before this time, and yet they were able to stand. The reason we're learning this is so that any persecution that comes to us, anytime, anywhere, in here, out there, we will stand in Jesus' name. Open your Bible and look at Daniel chapter 3. We're looking at verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. That's the beginning of the passage we're looking at today. The message is God's preservation of his own in the fiery furnace, a furnace of fire, because of persecution dreamt out and planned out by Nebuchadnezzar, the king, the emperor of the land, because he was very angry, furious, because they were not going to worship his idol. And yet, as the people of God were faithful, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were faithful, the Lord preserved them. If we are faithful and we also walk in faith and we live in faith and we endure by faith, there'll be preservation for us. He'll give us the grace every time in Jesus' name. We're looking at 3 points as we look at the passage of today. Number one is the persecution of the righteous in full fury. Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and because of that fury, because of that indignation, because of that anger against them, because they will not subject themselves, they will not submit themselves to the idolatry introduced to them, was full of fury, and persecution came on the righteous. Number two, we're looking at the preservation of the righteous by our faithful Father. He's watching over us. He's giving us promises that when we go through the fire, he'll be with us. We go through water, he'll go with us. He'll be with us. And you remain faithful, because the God of heaven looks at everything that goes on earth here. He is omnipresent, he's omniscient, he's also omnipotent. He has all the power, and he's everywhere present, and he can see. When you are in trouble in deep waters, he can see you. When you are going through the fury of the emperors in any land, he can see you, and he protects its own. That's why we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego preserved in that furious persecution, because our God in heaven and the Father of our Lord Jesus and our Father is always faithful. We're looking at number three now. After the persecution, after the preservation, and he kept on living, and the persecution did not take anything away from them. It added to them. They had promotion, they had exaltation, they had lifting up. Number three is the promotion of the righteous for further fruitfulness and further usefulness. We're looking at number one. Number one is the persecution of the righteous in full fury. We're looking at Daniel chapter 3, verses 19 to 23. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage and appearance was changed again, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace once seven times more than it was wont to be heated. That is, they should increase the temperature. They shall multiply by seven, make it very, very hot as the anger, as hot as the indignation, as hot as the fury of this second. Look at verse 20. It says in verse 20, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. It tells us in verse 21, and it says, then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 22. Verse 22 says, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took off Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 23. And then it says, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. The persecution, we divide this part to three sections. Number one, the temporary persecution of the righteous. The persecution was temporary. It's not going to continue forever. In fact, as they were thrown into the fire, they could have been burned to death, but sudden death and sudden glory. If they had died, they would have gone to heaven, and the persecution was still be temporary. They didn't die because God protected them, and their staying in that fire was still temporary. As the Son of God came and protected them and fellowshiped with them, and Nebuchadnezzar himself came and called them out, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the servants of the living God, come out. And it came out. The persecution was temporary. Whatever you are going through, it's temporary. And you can cast forth your mind and see the end of that persecution, the temporary persecution of the righteous. Number two is the tireless perseverance of the refined. They knew the fire will refine them, will purify them, will purge them. Persecution purifies us. Persecution refines us. And because we know it's for our refinement, we know it is for our good, we know it is for our purging, we know it is for our righteousness, that whatever impurity is still in us, and whatever kind of the dust of the world, the attitude of the world is still in us, it's the persecution that will purge and purify. Because of that, we're persistent and we persevere. The tireless perseverance of the refined. Number three, the timeless perdition of regal revengers. That is, the people who are fighting on the side of Nebuchadnezzar. and they support Nebuchadnezzar, and they support the persecutors, and they support the reason why Nebuchadnezzar was persecuting the righteous, regal, royal, related to the king, revengers. They didn't have any problem with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The only problem they had is that they didn't obey Nebuchadnezzar. When Nebuchadnezzar said, hefty men and great men, powerful men, courageous men, bind them all and cast them into the fire. These supporters of the chief persecutor, revenging on the side of Nebuchadnezzar, they were burnt to death by the flame, the timeless perdition of regal revengers. Let's look at number one. Number one, we're looking at the temporary persecution of the righteous. We've read it already, verses 19 and 20, because they will not submit. Nebuchadnezzar was furious now. Not only Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the rest of us, as we are born again, and you begin to live the new life. If any man be in Christ, it's a new creature. You don't walk with the people you used to walk with, you'll say, why? I'm born again. You don't teach the same thing and drink their alcohol anymore, but why? I am born again. You don't smoke the cigarette you used to smoke with them. Why? I am now born again. You don't dress the way that you used to dress with them, but why? I am born again. Because of that, they too, like Nebuchadnezzar, because you will not worship the idol of fashion and the idol of whatever principal practices are there in the world, because you become different now, that's why persecution comes. It says in 1 Peter chapter 4, and I'm reading there from verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange things happened unto you. Sometimes when persecution comes, we think this is strange. What have I done to deserve this? Why is Nebuchadnezzar doing this against me? Why is the God of this world with his servants? Why are they doing this to me? We think they are strange. Strange happenings, strange oppression, and strange trial, and strange temptation, and strange situation. Even the people that you thought, no, they won't do this to me, that's my relative, and they love me. Because you have given yourself to the Lord totally now and yielded to the Lord in righteousness, they are angry. They are angry at you, not because of you, but because of your new life. Your new righteousness that the Lord himself, that he has made possible in your life. That's the reason why the persecution is saying, that's why it says, beloved children of God, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, is to try your faith, is to try your conviction, is to try your resilience, is to try your stability in the Lord, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Look at verse 13. In verse 13 it says, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy. Verse 14. Verse 14 says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, the name of Christ, were saved by the name of Christ, were healed by the name of Christ, were delivered by the name of Christ, were live and walk, whatever ye do, do all in the name of Christ, because now we're committed to that name, we're dedicated to that name, we're walked by that name, we live in that name. because of that name. That's why the persecution is there. It says, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. It tells us in verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer. Remain righteous, remain holy, remain godly, remain a new creature, so that the persecution is never because you're a murderer. The persecution is not because you are a thief, nor or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. It says, clear yourself from other men's matters. You have enough load to carry. You have enough things to think about. You have enough life to live. You have enough challenges you should be thinking about. So don't poke nose into the lives of other people. And then they say, well, what concerns you with that? And then they not persecute, they punish you because you put your mouth, your eyes in their matter. It says, as we suffer, the persecution should not be that we are busybodies in other men's matters. And then in verse 16 says, yet if anyone, if any man suffer as a Christian, as the righteous, as a believer, as a person who is a new creature and his life is totally turned around, yet if any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're looking at verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're looking at verse 12. Yes. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Make up your mind. Because all, anywhere, anytime, all that will live godly in the first century, in the 21st century, all that will live godly in the early church and the present day church, anyone that is born again and he will live godly. And he says, I know, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. I'm going to be holy because God commanded it. I'm going to be holy because I'm a child of God, like the Father, Heavenly Father. So is the sons and daughters. As God is holy, I'm going to be holy. Anyone that will live a godly life shall suffer persecution. Anyone that is going to be committed to Christ, consecrated to the Lord, living the crucified life, even the people that say that they are Christians, they will say, why is he so godly? Why is he carrying on a peculiar conviction and is living a life that is totally different? Why is he doing evangelism as if he's the only one that is going to win the whole world? Anyone that is totally committed to Christ and he walks after Christ, he lives, he eats, he dresses, he prays, and he endures like Christ. Anyone that is going to lift up the glory of the Heavenly Father like the Lord Jesus Christ, anyone in any century, in any denomination, any church, any fellowship, anyone that is going to live godly will suffer persecution. Look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, but evil men like Nebuchadnezzar, evil men like those that tied off Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and threw them into the fire, that evil men are seducers, they'll try to seduce. Okay, I give you the second chance to worship my idol. But if you don't reconsider your stand, I'll throw you the same hour into the fiery furnace. And who is that God that will deliver you out of my hand? They will try to seduce. And when you resist their seduction, when you resist their enticement into doing the evil, when you resist their lust, and you resist their trying to catch you with their argument or their flesh or anything, thing. It says they will persecute, it says, and they will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In verse 14, it says in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Continue. You've learned about salvation. Continue. You've learned about sanctification. Continue. You've learned about one man, one wife. Continue. You've learned about all that was scattered about. They went everywhere preaching the word. Continue. You've learned about the purity of life and the difference you ought to make between the clean and the unclean, between the world and the Christian, and you keep a separated life, a sanctified life, and you keep a life that is totally different from the world. It says everything you've learned about the power that comes upon our lives, and then that power propels us to do the will of God, and you are sold to the will of God, committed to the will of God every day and every time in your life. It says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Let's come to number two here. Number two, we're looking at the tireless perseverance of the refined. He refines us. And the goal of the Lord in bringing us to himself is so that our lives will be totally different from what we were in the past. We come to the Lord and then he purges our lives. After pardoning us, he purifies our lives. He refines us and makes us better than we ever were in our lives. And then after he has saved us, after he has made us righteous, he's revived us, he's restored us, he continues and continues. And the refining of yesterday, of yesteryears, is not sufficient. Even today, he's still refining our lives because he's our refiner. And because of that, he allows whatever comes into our lives. He knows what we're going through. And yet, all things work together for good. The actions of the devil, the actions of the persecutors, and we understand God is not sleeping and God is not asleep. He knows what you are going through. Why does he allow this? He says that there is something yet to remove. There's something yet to refine. That's the reason then you say, since God knows and since God has a purpose in doing what he's doing, in allowing what he allows in my life, which I don't understand, you say, I say, because of that, I keep on persevering, I keep on enduring, so that finally you'll endure to the end. We're looking at Daniel chapter 3, and we're looking at verse 21. Daniel chapter 3, verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning furnace. The Lord knew what he was going to do. Of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were not in the council of heaven. They couldn't have known that the Son of Man, the Son of God, the fourth one, that he woke up. They couldn't have known, but God knew. And so God was watching. The only thing they had to do is to be tireless and to be persevering. And then it says they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace in verse 22. And it says, therefore, because of the king's commandment that was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire that came out of the, you know, of the furnace through the opening through which they were to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, slew those men. that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then in verse 23, it says, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And look at Malachi chapter 3, and we're looking at verse 2. So we understand why God allowed this. It says, but who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like the fuller's soap. In verse 3 says, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. The fire actually didn't burn their body, didn't burn their hair, didn't burn their clothes, only the cord that Nebuchadnezzar had commanded they should tie them in, that one burnt off. The things that would have impeded their movement and their progress, all that burnt off. But they themselves, they became free. They could stand, they could walk, and they could interact and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who came in his pre-incarnate form to fellowship with them. Refining. When you look at your life and you see what you go through and what you used to be, how you used to act, how you used to react, the things in life that God has permitted, like persecution, you didn't understand, but those things removed the past kind of reactions and responses and everything you used to do, and the way you used to talk, and the way you used to look moody whenever something crossed your way. All those things are removed because of the refining agency of God in our lives, and we keep on persevering. Look at Matthew chapter 24, and we're reading there from verse 12. Matthew chapter 24, we're reading from verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. When iniquity abounds, those people that make the iniquity to abound, they will not like, they will not love, they will not appreciate you, because you are not part of the iniquity. You are not going on with the iniquity. Because of that, they will persecute you. They want you to join them. They want iniquity to abound. But you say, no, I will not be part of that system of iniquity. Now you'll be persecuted, but you have to endure. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He that shall endure. You keep on persevering and you are not tired. You are tireless. A person who receives evil, so that the kind of the refining of the Lord will be complete in your life. Look at verse 14. In verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. Who are the people to preach the kingdom? The gospel of the kingdom. The people that have been persecuted. The people that will not give up. The people that will say, despite Nebuchadnezzar's fire, we're still at every opportunity, every chance with God, we're still going to be preaching the word of the Lord. Who were the people that preached the gospel of the kingdom in the early church? They were the people that were persecuted, the apostles that were persecuted. The persecution was there, and the proclamation of the gospel remained there at the same time. Those were tireless persecutors. You would have thought that the persecution was stopped in the early chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, but no, it didn't stop. And when Paul the Apostle came in later, the persecution continued, but the tireless people that resisted all those things, that took their stand, they went to the prison, they came out, they kept on preaching. There was a shipwreck, they kept on preaching. There was the conspiracy of the people that said they will kill that Paul who calls himself apostle and who is going about and getting people away from the traditional religion and from the idolatry. All those things were there, but they kept on preaching, because in the midst of the persecution, in the midst of the pressure, in the midst of the punishment they laid on them for preaching the gospel, yet they kept on. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. We're looking at number three here. Number three is the timeless perdition of regal revengers. And they had nothing to revenge. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had not offended anyone. Nebuchadnezzar was unreasonable in setting up an idol, because when his dream was revealed in chapter 2, he himself had said, there is no God that can reveal secrets like this that he has revealed to Daniel with his companion, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, the idol was unreasonable even for Nebuchadnezzar. And for these supporters of Nebuchadnezzar, supporting him was unreasonable. Were these not among the magicians and the sorcerers that were not able to bring up the dream he had forgotten? And when Daniel came with his companions that had prayed and they revealed the dream of the king, were they not all surprised? Were they not all saying in their heart, we never found anything like this before? And so these people that bound the righteous people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the prayerful people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had no reason to do that. See what God had done through Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But because they were on the side of unreasonable Nebuchadnezzar, they were on the side of the unreasonable idol worshiper, they were on the side of the one that raised up an idol and said everybody should worship that idol, regal revengers. That's why, look at Daniel now, chapter 3. We're looking at verse 20. Daniel chapter 3, verse 20. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Look at verse 21. Verse 21. But then these men were bound in their coats, and then it said they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 22. In verse 22, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took off Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The flame of the fire slew those men, they died for aiding and abetting Nebuchadnezzar. They died suddenly. They died leaving their families behind. They died going to a fiery burning hell in eternity, for all eternity. The pity is, Nebuchadnezzar, by the time you come to chapter 4, after God knocked him down and he ate grass like animal, he repented, he turned, and he gave testimony. He said, I extol the God of heaven, whose kingdom and dominion is forever and ever. The people that helped him, supported him to cast Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into fire, they went to hell. And he, Nebuchadnezzar, repenting later, probably went to heaven. Now, the people who help evildoers, they might lose their lives helping evildoers. And they might die before their time and go to hell. And the people that were wicked, that appointed them, that employed them, that instigated them, that sent them to do evil, those people might die and go to hell. Why would anyone go to hell for a person who is sending him on an errand to do evil? And yet those people, we don't know, they might repent later. Watch your own life. Don't go to hell for anybody, because hell fire is forever and ever. We're looking at Revelation chapter 14, reading from verse 10. Revelation chapter 14, we're looking at verse 10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Then in verse 11, it says, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. We're coming to point number two. Point number two, we're looking at the preservation of the righteous by our faithful Father. We're looking at Daniel chapter 3, verse 24. Daniel chapter 3, we're reading from verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, he was surprised, amazed, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. Hold on. Did we not, my counselors, you're in agreement with me? They said, yes, we did. We all did. It was not your own solitary decision alone. You might not touch Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but if in your mind you're in agreement that these innocent people, these righteous people, these new creatures, and these followers of the God of heaven, if you're in agreement in your heart, yes, that's right, cast them in there. You might not touch them, you might not bind them, but because you gave your voice and you gave your acceptance, your consent, you are part of them. Nebuchadnezzar was not alone. Did not we cast three men into the fire? They said, true, O king. Look at verse 25. In verse 25, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And then in verse 26, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth, to the entrance, the door of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants, look at that, servants of the Most High God, the Most High God. God is recognizing mentally, not in the heart yet, because he wasn't converted. After this, he still said, is not this the great Babylon which I built for the honor and the glory of my name? The pride was still there. The man was not converted, but in his head, in his mind, comparing notes, comparing what has happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and what happened to his own counselors that threw them there. You could tell that these were the servants of the Most High God. He said, come forth, and they and come hither. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And then in verse 27, and the princes and the governors and the captains and the kings, the counselors, being gathered together, they saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. We're dividing this into three parts. Number one, we're looking at the promise for faithful sons and daughters. Number two, the performance through the Father's Son by decree. Number three, we're looking at the purpose of faith, security, and deliverance. We're looking at number one, we're looking at the promise for faithful sons and daughters. Here is the promise that had been given by Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 43, reading from verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, nobody ever knew that would happen one day. Nobody ever knew that this prophecy and promise of God through Isaiah will be fulfilled anytime. That the time will come, there'll be part of the righteous people, part of the refined people, revived people, part of the people that will be following after the righteousness of the Lord that will pass through fire. And God had given the promise that when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt. Thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Let's come to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, reading from verse 17. It says in verse 17, leaning on that promise of the God, relying on that promise of knowing that God the Creator is seen of the one that created fire to start with. And if evil people wanted to use what God had created, what God had provided, they want to use it to destroy his own children, God, who created the fire, he can subdue the power of the fire. And that assures us that God created all the trees and all the plants and all the leaves and all the barks of those trees. And God created all the animals, the creeping things and all that. And will he allow and herbalize a wicked person, an evil person, to use what he has created to kill and to destroy his own children? He will not allow them. And all those things that God has created, that the people of the world and the people who are into occultism and evil power, they want to use the creation of God to destroy the new creature in Christ, it will not happen in Jesus' name. And so we were told of the confession and the conviction of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve now. That is the condition. You are serving the Lord in holiness and righteousness. Every day of your life, then God will see to it that you are protected when that time comes. So are serving God in faithfulness, and you take care of his word in faithfulness and obedience to the Lord. That's the condition. And they said, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, can you be sure? Because we have read his promise. We have meditated on his promise. We have accepted his promise. We have internalized his promise. And we believe that God will not fail. He knows the meaning of that promise he gave more than we do. And because we rely on that unfailing promise, we know he's going to fulfill that promise. He'll fulfill it on your behalf in Jesus' name. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. Let's look at number two there. Number two there, we're looking at the performance through the Father's Son by decree. By decree. It tells us in Psalm 2, Psalm 2, I'm reading from verse 6, in Psalm 2, verse 6, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Now, there are two kings here now that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to think about, had to consider: the king of Babylon and then the king of the believers, the Lord Jesus Christ. In your situation, in your life, if you make your heart, your mind, the eyes of your heart to center on the king of this world, you will exaggerate their power, you'll exaggerate their ability, you exaggerate what they can do. But if you turn around and you look at your own king, because Nebuchadnezzar is not your king, he's the king of the Babylonians, and you are not a Babylonian. You look at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Look at verse 7. In verse 7 it says, I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. When we center our mind on the author and the finisher of our faith, on the King of the righteous, of the King that God himself has set, on the King that has the final say in our lives, he will preserve our lives in Jesus' name. Think of what Christ has done. Think of what Christ can do. Think of what Christ is doing. Think of the promise of Christ. Think of the power of Christ. You will have faith, and you will be persuaded that God will perform everything he has promised. Look at Romans chapter 4. We're reading from verse 20. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God. He says, when you pass through the fire of persecution, it will not burn you. It will not affect you. It will not destroy you or kill you. You do not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Then in verse 21 says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. There'll be a performance in your life. Look at number three here. Number three here is the purpose of faith, security, and deliverance. Why did God deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Why? As he promised, he's going to deliver you. He will deliver you. Look at Acts chapter 5, reading from verse 17. Acts 5:17. Then the high priest rose up and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees. And they were filled with indignation, like Nebuchadnezzar. In verse 18, it says, and they laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Verse 19 says, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors. The purpose is, without test, there'll be no testimony. Without trial, there'll be no triumph. They wouldn't have seen the visitation of the angel were it not that they were cast into the prison. When something negative happens, so-called negative, apparently negative, there is something positive that will overwhelm, overcome, overthrow that negative thing in your life in Jesus' name. Because they were cast into the prison. That's why God could send an angel from heaven and deliver them. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said in verse 20, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Is to make us continue in the work he has given us to do, is to make us do the work and not say, because of the prison, because of the incarceration, because of the misunderstanding, because of the misplacement on punishment on the people we should be praising, because of that, hands down, and then we do not the work, we do not what he wants us to do. He says, after coming out of the prison, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Verse 21 it says, when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and they taught the word of God. Let's look at Acts chapter 26, the purpose. Persecution comes, then there's perseverance, and then there is preservation. The purpose of that perseverance and preservation. Acts chapter 26, verse 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Why do we have revelation? For this purpose. Why do we have the grace to endure? For this purpose. Why do we have deliverance from the persecutors? For this purpose. Why do we get healed after we've been so sick? We thought that might be the end. For this purpose. Why do we have any special kind of intervention from God, from heaven? The reason is, for this purpose have I appeared unto thee, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Verse 17, it says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I sent thee. Verse 18, the purpose is to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that's in me. That the purpose, when we're delivered, let's remember the purpose. You know, you've been going out for morning cry and some people wanted to attack you and the Lord delivered you. What's the purpose of that deliverance? To go out again for the morning cry. You have been doing the will of God and bringing people to Christ, and then challenges came, trials came, and persecution came, and the Lord delivered you from the trial and the persecution. Can you say, I will not go that way again, I will not do that again? You know you cannot, because your deliverance has a purpose, and your protection has a purpose, that you'll go out again and keep on preaching the word and bring many people to the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 18, we're looking at verse 9. Acts chapter 18, verse 9, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Now, if you're only preaching, preaching, and preaching, and you are not praying, you might not have the revelation of the Lord. If you're walking, walking, and walking, and you are not in communication with the God of heaven, you may not have this privilege of having the night vision. And you may be so busy working for God and preaching the gospel and running up and down that you don't have time to develop your communication with the Lord. And so when these challenges come, the Lord wants to talk to you, but you're too busy. You're busy in the day, you're busy in the night, you're busy every hour, and you do not develop your communication ability with the Lord. It may not come to you, but you see these apostles in the New Testament. Yes, they were busy. Yes, they preached everywhere, but they preached unto the Lord, and they sang praises unto the Lord, and they read the word of God. The word was not only for the people they were preaching to. They were applying the word unto themselves. That's why God was able to communicate with them, because they kept the communication channel with the Lord. They kept that open. Do not be so busy that you don't have time to pray and to refresh yourself and to hear from God. Don't study the Bible only to go and preach, but study the Bible as well, that it will be applicable to your life. And then speak the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak. Be not afraid, but speak. Persecution has the tendency of making the persecuted people afraid. They see the power of the persecutors. They see the fire, the fury of the persecutors. They see the determination of the persecutors. And eventually, they become afraid. They are centered on the power and the perseverance and the persistence of the persecutors. It makes them afraid. But if you always go back to God, preach, go and pray, preach, go and lean upon the Lord, preach, and go and enrich yourself in the word of God, then the fear of the persecutors will not seize your heart, that you'll not be able to continue the work of the Lord. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. Then in verse 10, for I am with thee. For I am with thee. You understand? That's written in Isaiah chapter 41. But Paul did not just read it in Isaiah chapter 41. That's in Jeremiah 2. I am with you. But Paul did not just read it there. God took that word out of the book and applied it to him. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. Then in verse 11, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. We're coming to point number three now. In point number three, we're looking at the promotion of the righteous for further fruitfulness. Why will God promote us? Because we're useful already. He wants to give us more further usefulness. Why will God preserve us? Because we're being faithful, and he knows his word is in your mouth. Because of that, he gave you that deliverance for further usefulness, profitableness in the kingdom of God, and fruitfulness in the kingdom of God. We're coming to Daniel chapter 3, and we're reading from verse 28. Daniel chapter 3, verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him." Delivered his servants that trusted in him. Simply trusting every day. In the morning, afternoon, and evening, trusting every day. Whatever befalls, whatever comes, trusting Jesus, that is all. And because they trusted in him, he has sent his angel and delivered the servants that trusted him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies. Understand that they changed the king's word, but you must be willing to yield your body, because there'll be persecution, there'll be misunderstanding. So if you change the word of the persecutor, if you change the plan of the persecutor, if you change the intention of the persecutor, they will count you stubborn. They'll count you heady. They'll count you a kind of defiant. And, you know, persecutors don't like you being defiant or disobedient. Whatever you are thinking about, whatever other God you have allegiance to, that's not their concern. Their concern is, this is the way to go. The persecutor said, if you say no, you must be ready to yield your body to more pain. If you're not ready for that, then you cannot change the king's words. But it says they changed the king's words and they yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. In verse 29, therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this. So verse 30 it says, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. 30 things we're looking at. Number one, deliverance for God's uncompromising servants. They will not compromise. Because of that, God delivered them. Number two, declaration of God's unchangeable supremacy, that God is high, high above any other emperor, king, conqueror, anyone in the world. Number three, dominion of God's unconquerable sins. Look at number one. Number one is the deliverance for God's uncompromising servants. We've read already chapter 3, verse 28 of Daniel. Let's look at Daniel chapter 6. We're reading from verse 22. Daniel chapter 6, verse 22. My God has sent his angel, and he has shut the lion's mouths again. Understand? Fire was created by God. The lions were created by God. And when God does not want them to eat up anything, he shuts their mouth. He has that power. And all the lions of this world that might want to eat the righteous up, God has the power to shut the lions' mouths, and that they have not hurt me for as much as before him innocency was found in me. And also, before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Really, king, you know in your heart, I've not done anything to merit being thrown into the lion's den. And since God knows how innocent I am and how righteous I am, how faithful I am, how helpful I am, how profitable I am, even in your kingdom, the Lord has sent his angel and he has shut the lion's mouth. Now, in the case of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they saw the Son of God. They saw the fourth one. And they were walking together, talking together. In the case of Daniel, there's no record that he saw the angel. Yet, whether we see the angel or we don't see the angel, the promise of God tells us, assures us, the angel of the Lord will be there by your side every time in Jesus' name. We're looking at the next verse there, verse 23. In verse 23, then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed. Because he believed. Because he believed in his God. Second Corinthians, we're looking at chapter 1, and we're reading from verse 9. In Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, but we add the sentence of death, humanly speaking, in ourselves, the persecution, the shipwreck, the drowning, and everything, we add the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, and in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had a conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you. What? We're looking at number two here. Number two is the declaration of God's unchangeable supremacy. God's unchangeable supremacy. That's what Nebuchadnezzar eventually confessed. And then we're told in Daniel chapter 6, reading from verse 26. Daniel chapter 6, verse 26. It is another king now. It says, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, before the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's exactly what Nebuchadnezzar also emphasized. And now before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall even be unto the end. He tells us in verse 27, in verse 27, he delivereth, he rescueth, he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of lions? In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 23, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 23, and he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above, on earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee. Thy servants that trust thee, thy servants that walk before thee, thy servants that remain faithful every time with all their heart. Number three here, we're looking now at dominion, the dominion of God's unchangeable, unconquerable saints. Look at Daniel chapter 7. We're reading from verse 13 and verse 14. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. I saw in the night vision, and behold, the one like the Son of Man, capital S, that the Lord Jesus Christ, came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, that is to the Father, to God the Father. And they brought him, Christ, the Son of Man, near before him, the Ancient of Days. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, and it was given unto him dominion, that is Christ, having dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people and all nations and all languages would serve him. His dominions and everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Christ is going to have the kingdom, the dominion forever and ever. But look at the position of the faithful, the saints, the children of God. In verse 27, it says, and the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were faithful, they have dominion with the Son of Man. Because Daniel was faithful, he'll have dominion with the Son of Man, with the Lord Jesus, eventually in the final kingdom. And because you are faithful one day at a time, and every day you are faithful by the grace of God, and you walk by faith, and you walk in righteousness, and you walk according to the word of God, and you're not looking at the temporary persecution, you're looking at the prince of the kingdom, and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you are faithful to him because you are thinking of the future kingdom. You'll have dominion also of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominion shall serve and obey him. Let's end up with Ephesians chapter 2. Reading there from verse 6, it says, and he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I thought you'd say amen to that. As you become born again and you remain abiding in the Lord and you continue in his word and you endure until the end, all these little persecutions and all the little pressures and pain, God will give you the faith to overcome, to endure to the end in Jesus' name. His dominion, you will share in that dominion. Even here on earth, he'll put the key in your hand. You'll have that dominion over every challenge and over every difficulty and problem in Jesus' name. The fire of the world will not burn you up. The lions of the world will not eat you up. And every day, he'll be refining you and renewing you, and you'll be coming brighter and brighter with more glory in your life in Jesus' name. Let's rise up now and talk to the Lord in prayer. All that he has revealed to us, all that we have learned, that we'll take everything to the Lord in prayer, and his power will abide, reside, increase in our lives.